Chapter 8. Nina Murray's Journal. August 11th. 3 o'clock in the morning. My goodness, what a night it has been. Lucy and I both went to bed extremely tired from our walk. Lucy fell asleep almost immediately when her head touched her pillow. I, too, then fell asleep, only to awaken very suddenly a few hours later and find that Lucy was gone from her bed. I went downstairs and discovered the front door open. I feared more than ever for my friend's safety at that moment. I put on a coat and ran outside to look for her. I am not sure how long I looked, but I finally found her sitting in our favorite place near the edge of the sea. Behind her, I thought that I could see something, or someone standing. Then the person or thing suddenly bent itself down near my friend's face. I called out to her, and the person turned toward me. His face was terribly white, and his eyes an evil red. I began to run toward them. When I finally reached Lucy, the man was gone. She was breathing very heavily and seemed cold. I wrapped her in my coat and must have accidentally cut her neck with my fingernails, for she suddenly put her hands to her throat, as if in pain. I checked the injury myself and found 2 little holes, still freshly bleeding. We then walked back home, being careful not to be seen by anyone. I put her to bed and then got back into mine. I decided that it would be best not to tell anyone about this night, for it could easily hurt Lucy's reputation. August 14th. I have now begun to lock the bedroom door at night. I keep the key tied around my arm. Several times I have woken up to find Lucy trying to open the door in her sleep. Last night she was looking out the window at a bat that kept flying about just outside. It seemed to want to get in. Today, after dinner, she went to bed early because she was not feeling well. I, myself, went for a walk in the cool night air. As I was returning, I saw Lucy looking out our bedroom window. I waved to her, but she did not respond. When I got closer, I found that she was sleeping with her head leaning against the window's edge. Next to her head was a large bat. I ran inside and up to our room. She was getting back into bed when I arrived. She held her neck with one hand, as if cold. Now she lies very still and peaceful, although her eyes look very tired. I have locked the door and window. She should be fine now. August 17th. These are very sad days. Lucy's mother had a private conversation with me a couple of days ago. She told me that she is dying, and that she could die very soon if anything too upsetting happened. I did not share this news with Lucy, for her health also seems to be poor lately. She has been sleeping late, and her skin is losing its color. I found her asleep with her head out of the window again last night. She held her neck, and I checked the 2 holes there. They were still freshly bleeding. If her health does not improve soon, I will call a doctor. August 19th. Wonderful news! Jonathan has written to me. Sadly, he has been very ill at this time. He is staying in a hospital in Hungary. I am leaving for Budapest tomorrow morning. Lucy has seemed much better lately. A little of her color has returned, so I feel it safe to leave her now. The letter from Jonathan was actually written by one of the nurses at the hospital where he is being taken care of. She wrote that Jonathan must have experienced something very terrible, for he talks of very frightening things in his sleep. They assure me that he is fine now, however. I cannot wait to see him. Dr. Seward's Diary.
August 19th. Patient Renfield's behavior has changed a great deal lately. He no longer cares about his collection of spiders, and he will not talk with anyone not the guard or myself. He seems to think that we are unimportant now. He talks about his master coming. "He is here," he says. "He has come." I left him this evening, sitting on his bed, staring through the bars in his window. Later, I was awakened earlier tonight by the guard. He informed me that Renfield had somehow managed to leave the hospital through his window. I gathered several men and immediately went out looking for him. He was found standing at the front door of the old house next door to our hospital. He was talking as if someone were on the other side of the door. "I have come, Master, to serve you in whatever way you wish." With much effort, we took hold of him and returned him to the hospital. He is now locked away behind the strongest door we have, in a room without windows. His arms are completely tied up in a special coat designed for the most violent patients. He repeats the same sentences over and over again. "I am waiting, Master. I will be ready as soon as you are."